All right. If you have your Bible, go ahead and grab your Bible, and we'll be in the book of Luke, chapter 2. The book of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll be in verse number 25 to start out this afternoon. Luke, chapter 2, verse 25. And we are in the book of Luke, chapter 2, and no, I'm not going to preach a Christmas message that, you know, I didn't get to before the holiday. But it's going to be just a little bit after the passage of Scripture that we typically go to on Christmas. We're in Luke chapter 2, verse number 25, and we're looking at two Bible characters here that we don't, I don't think we think about them very much, and we don't recognize them very much, but I wanted to There's some that's said about them, and I want to kind of pull out some of the some of what we can learn from these two individuals. And so if you found it, we're in Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. If you'll join me in standing in reverence to God's word, and we'll read the first few verses and get to know these two individuals. The Bible says in Luke 2, 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought him into the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child shall set for the fall and rising again many in Israel, and a sign which shall be spoken against. Verse 35, Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess of the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, and departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for these two individuals in your word, Simeon and Anna, Lord. Lord, I thank you for that even in their old age that they still looked for the Savior. Lord, I thank you that we have your word, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for how your word proves itself over and over again. Lord, I just pray that we can learn from Luke what Luke records for us here about these two individuals. And Lord, I just pray that we'll each walk away having learned something from your word and that we can apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray also if there's anyone here that hasn't trusted you as their Savior, that they'll get that taken care of today, that they won't leave here not knowing that they're on their way to heaven. Lord, I just thank you for the time we have together in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can go ahead and be seated. So these two individuals, Simeon and Anna, they had waited a long time to see the Savior. Now, I think my wife and I have a problem that I think a lot of other families struggle with. And it's an expensive problem. And it's a problem that occurs regularly. That problem is very directly related to Amazon.com. We frequent that website, and then because of that, those gray vans frequent the front of our house. And, you know, one of the things about Amazon and what makes it so addicting is that whatever you want that can be purchased on Amazon.com, most things can be at our house in a matter of a day, sometimes 2 days, but at best, maybe even a couple hours. I have sometimes thought of something that we need and ordered it while getting ready for bed, and then the next morning, it's already on our doorstep. And, you know, Amazon, they have figured out the impatience of human beings, and it used it against us. Because it is amazing, anything that they can get to your doorstep in really just a matter of hours most of the time. I was complaining to my wife just the other day that I'd ordered a pair of shoes on Amazon, and I didn't look at how long it was going to take to get there, and it was 2 weeks away. And I'm like, I canceled the order, because I'm like, I'm not waiting 2 weeks for this pair of shoes. And we are an impatient people. We do not want to wait for things to get to us. You know, I still kind of knocking on 30, but still consider myself a younger person. I cannot stand using checks. I don't use checks for almost anything anymore, and we Venmo people, and it's instant. But waiting for the mail, oh my goodness, everything is so slow. I like things to be fast. And, you know, technology has made everything even faster. And so, with all of that, I feel like our patience is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, we look at these two elderly individuals in the Bible, and they had waited and waited and waited a long time. They were waiting for Jesus Christ. And in Luke 2:25 here, at the first verse we read, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." And we see a few verses later in verse 36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess." So these two, they were not we don't know tons and tons about them. They're not one of these Bible characters like David or like Peter or like Paul, where we know a lot about them and we see a lot written by them and about them. But we see these two, and Luke includes them in his gospel here as he writes, and he writes to show that they are proofs that Jesus Christ is in fact who he said he was, even years and years before Jesus Christ started his ministry. And you know what's interesting is sometimes we miss these quieter voices that point to who Jesus Christ is. You know, if you've flown through an airport, sometimes it's usually very loud in an airport. The Portland airport is, you know, luckily that we fly through most of the time living here, is quite a bit smaller and quieter than most airports. And but you go through a bigger airport like JFK or LAX, and even my wife and I, a couple months ago, were flying through, went to the Philippines and flew through the Manila airport, which is very big and very chaotic. And there's a lot of announcements, and, you know, when we were in Manila, they're not necessarily in English, and so you don't really know what is always going on. But often the most important announcements are the ones that are made only at your gate, the most important announcements to you. And so we see here that Simeon and Anna, they weren't the loudest here But they had a very important message about who Jesus Christ was. So the first observation I want to make about Simeon is that, number one, if you're taking notes, Simeon was a man who lived right and waited long. He waited for a long time. But during that time, he lived right. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 2 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout." We see that, letter A, he was just. He was living in a way that he was right with God. It speaks of his position before God. Psalm 1, 1 through 2 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So Simeon here was living righteously in an unrighteous time. You know, largely the coming of Jesus Christ had been largely forgotten about by most in society. But he continued to wait for the Messiah. He continued to wait for the Savior. He continued to do what the Holy Spirit had told him to do, and to wait and to look for the coming. That he was not going, because he was promised, as we read in our main text, that he wasn't going to see death until he saw Jesus Christ. Notice that he was just, letter A, but also he was devout, or he was serious about God. He was serious about God. Proverbs 1:7 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." You know, our culture today treats the church like a social club, like a place to just gather on Sunday to see friends. And it also treats our society treats church very casually. Many Christians do not attend church regularly at all. You know, it's considered that you're a fanatic if you go every week, and much less staying at a 12:30 service. You know, our culture does not place a high value on attending church. Our culture does not treat church as holy and set apart. You know, holy things deserve our whole attention. You know, if we ought to treat Sunday, ought to be a special day to worship God. It ought to be set apart with a priority on worshiping God. You know, if I told you that I was a golfer, which I'm not, you should see me at Topgolf. The people beside us are in danger. But if I told you I was a golfer, but I never went golfing, or maybe I had golf clubs, which I don't, but I never touched them, and they're in some corner of the garage covered in dust and cobwebs and are now home to a family of spiders, and I don't seem like much of a golfer. I'm not practicing golfing at all. Well, so many times people, we call themselves Christians, but are we living in a Christ-like way? Are we reading our Bible? Are we trying to grow more Christ-like? So we notice about Simeon that he was just and he was devout. He was serious about the things of God. Notice also, letter C, he was waiting. He was expecting that God would act. Verse 25 says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation meaning comfort, redemption, or deliverance. In other words, he was waiting there for the Savior. Simeon believed God would keep his word, and it took decades. So often we will grow impatient so quickly. And when things take time. Waiting on the Lord is hard. I know Pastor kind of mentioned some things when it comes to this church building this morning, but I was thinking on how long it took for the building itself to actually get built. There was a time where my dad, we made a video, and he explained the timeline that we had for the church building to be built, which was nothing close to what actually happened. And, you know, it had us in the building about, 2 years before we actually built the building. And by the time we got to the actual date that was the completion date on the flow chart he'd set up, we hadn't even, nothing had happened here yet. And so that can be discouraging. I remember coming when the building was under construction, and there was many a lot of days where I would come out here at least a couple times a week, if not more, to see what had happened and, you know, just try to, like, will things to be done. I don't know. So all the different steps and, you know, waiting is hard. And so we see that Simeon here, he was waiting on the Lord. But notice also in verse 25 that he was not only waiting, but he was spirit-filled. Verse 25 tells us that the Holy Ghost was upon him. And so we see here that he trusted in the Lord. And we see here that God was going to use him. So we see that Simeon, he was a man who lived right and waited long. But we see that also, number two, if you're taking notes, Simeon was a man who believed God's promise. He believed God's promise. Verse 26 says this, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So God made Simeon a personal promise. You know, this is one of those cases where he had waited successfully. We can think of those who God made a promise to, and then they took things into their own hands, like Abraham and Sarah and the mess that was made with Hagar and Ishmael, because they took things into their own hands instead of waiting on the Lord. But we see Simeon here who waited on the Lord. God, he held on to God's promise for years and years, waiting for God to fulfill that promise. We see the day that the promise was fulfilled. Luke 2:27 says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. We see the guidance of the Holy Spirit here. So we see that Simeon was a man who lived right and waited long. Simeon was also believed God's promise. But we see number three, that Simeon saw salvation. He saw salvation here. Luke 2:28 through 30, if you'll look in your Bible with me, Luke 2:28 through 30 says, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Notice something important here in the phrase. He says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He didn't say that my eyes have seen religion. They've seen salvation. This person here, Jesus Christ, who will be the salvation. John 14:6 says, Jesus say unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're trusting in Jesus Christ in salvation. You know, during the young adult class, we've been going over Baptist history, and we started that even before it. We knew that Brother Sargent was going to be coming to do a series on Baptist history, and looking forward to how that'll work together. But right now, we're in about the years between like around 1100 to 1200, and kind of looking at all of this persecution that people that believed the Bible that they went through. And just reading what the Word of God says and applying it to your life and believing in salvation by grace alone was punishable by death. And how there were those that were erased from history because they were because they took this stand. They were they died and were tormented in these terrible deaths because they took a stand to believe what the Word of God said. We see Simeon here. He was a man who waited and a man who saw salvation. He saw who he was looking for. We notice also early on in Scripture that this salvation was going to be to all people. Luke 2:31 and 32 says, "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel." You see, Jesus wasn't just going to be the Messiah for the Israelites. He was going to be the Savior for the entire world. And, you know, it took a while. We see in the New Testament later that it takes a while before the preaching begins to the Gentiles. And I am so thankful that the Gentiles, that we are included in this salvation. We see in John 1:9, "And the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." So we see that this salvation, it will be not just to the Jews and not just to the Gentiles, but will be to all people through Jesus Christ. And this was the salvation that Simeon saw and that he waited for so long. Our last observation about Simeon before we get to Anna is that Simeon was also, he was a man that lived right and waited long. He believed God's promise. He saw salvation. But he was also a man who spoke a hard truth. He spoke a hard truth. You know, sometimes there's just times in life where you need to share a really hard truth with somebody that you know they're not going to want to hear, but they need to hear that truth. And we see here that Simeon, he speaks a hard truth here to Mary and Joseph. Verse 33 through 35 says this, "And at Joseph, and Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child shall set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed." And so we see here he's giving, kind of prophesying what's going to happen in the future. We see when Jesus begins his ministry and he begins to preach, the preaching of the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says it is quick and powerful, and that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so persecution was going to come, and ultimately he was going to end up on a cross. And no doubt Mary had an idea already of some of the things that Jesus would suffer, probably definitely not a full picture of all that was going to happen here. But Simeon here is revealing that there's going to be suffering and there's going to be pain. You know, it's not going to be, you know, he's not going to, like traditionally in that day, he's not going to go into his father's field and be a carpenter all his life and retire comfortably. No, something much different is going to happen. He doesn't hide the truth from Mary. He shares what the Holy Spirit has given him to share with Mary. We see that Simeon was a man who lived right and waited long, a man who believed God's promise, a man who saw salvation and a man who spoke a hard truth. But then we also get number five, if you're taking notes, we get to Anna, a woman who was faithful through loss. She was faithful through loss. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. If you have your Bible, we'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. And so follow along as I read. The Bible says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and have lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." You see, Anna here, she only was married for 7 years. And then we see after that, quite a long time of grief as she was a widow. You know, we see here that because she was a widow, and being a widow at that time, I would argue, was much, much worse than being a widow today, in that she didn't have a husband to help take care of her. She was in a bad spot, but instead of being defeated and just giving up here, instead, she gives herself to prayers and to fastings and to serving the Lord with what she can do. You know, there's a lot of big things that happen on the church calendar throughout the year, and that's kind of been on my mind as we met a couple weeks ago and went over the church calendar and planned things out, and some of the things we get to decide when they are, and some things like camp and events that we go to at other churches, we don't get to decide when those are. But a lot of these big things, like summer camp, like vacation Bible school, the Easter egg hunt, big meals we have at the church, you know, these require a lot of helpers, a lot of volunteers to serve God in these different ways. And, you know, you got to be able-bodied to do a lot of these things. You know, we're probably not going to send our senior citizens are probably not going to be the counselors at teen camp. We're taking volunteers if you want to. I'd be more than happy. But, you know, if you have trouble with mobility and moving around, probably teen camp is not the place for you. You know, I mentioned I'm 29, and it gets harder every year. And they seem to have more energy, and it's just, and you're going, and it is a great time. Don't get me wrong. It is a great time. And, you know, if you have the ability right now, God has given you the ability and the able-bodiedness to serve in that kind of way, then I'd encourage you to do so. And I'm not kidding. I'm looking for volunteers for teen camp and junior camp. And so, but just because maybe you're not physically in the kind of shape where you can serve God in one of those ways doesn't mean that you're done serving God. It doesn't mean that God there's no use for you anymore, that you can't, that you don't have a ministry, a way to serve anymore. The ministry of prayer is a very, very important ministry. You know, when we do something like travel with a bunch of teenagers to camp, we need Christians in our church praying for safety, praying for decisions to be made, praying for us, and praying regularly. The Bible describes here what Anna was doing in Luke 2:37, that she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You know, she didn't retire in her spiritual life. you know, maybe as we get older, what we can do looks a little different. But you don't need to, you don't need to be able-bodied. You don't need to have, you know, the right blood pressure, the right cholesterol. You don't have to, you don't have to meet all of these health qualifications to be order to be able to pray. And so, she challenges us here to not retire in our spiritual life. That no matter how old we may get, and even Simeon was up there in years too, to continue to wait on the Lord, continue to see God work. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You know, as we get older, getting weary gets easier and easier. You know, I mentioned teen camp. Those teenagers very rarely get weary. They have lots and lots of energy. So, but the Bible tells us, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We don't know how long that wait is going to be. But we see here Simeon and Anna, they both are faithful to God over the long haul. We see lastly that when it comes to Anna, she was a woman not only that was faithful through loss, but she was a woman who could not keep silent here. Verse number 38 says, "And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Israel." You know, often there's people who can't seem to keep silent about things that really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. Or they can't keep silent about maybe criticism. There's some people that you just, everything, there's a problem, and they've got a bad thing to say about just about everything. Well, when I say here that Anna was a woman who could not keep silent, she had something to say here from the Lord, and she had a thankfulness to express. She couldn't help but express her thankfulness. She thanked God, and also she testified of Christ. Notice at the end of verse 38 that the Bible says, "And spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." She spoke to those who were looking. She was pointing people to Jesus Christ. You know, if today one of us in this room were to discover a cure to a disease like cancer that causes so many people, it kills so many people, and it also brings an immense amount of suffering in the cancer and in the treatment. And if somebody in this room were to discover a cure for cancer, I certainly hope that would not be something that person would keep to themselves, but rather it would be an exciting thing to share so that other people do not need to suffer through this terrible disease. You see, she didn't whisper the truth that she had heard. She told everyone that would listen about Jesus Christ. You know, maybe even others who were not trusting in Christ, maybe there were those that might have made fun of her. Maybe she was just maybe they would call her that crazy old widow at the temple. But she was sharing Christ with anybody that would listen. You know, at each stage of our lives, we have a different ministry to different people that we can reach, that we can't reach in that unique way at any other phase of our life. You know, in junior church, we talk to the kids about telling their friends about Jesus, or at least inviting them to church. You know, they can reach their classmates. They can even reach their teachers like nobody else can. And then teenagers have the very unique position of that teenagers can reach adults and they can reach kids. And so often, as we've seen in this church, that the youth group, the kids in the junior church ministry look up to the teenagers in the youth group. And we also see that they can be used to lead young people to the Lord as well as people that are much older than them. You know, as we go through life, there are those that we meet because of the part of life that we're in. You know, maybe if you're a person that's going through a surgery or you're spending time in a care facility, you can share the gospel with a roommate or somebody that's passing through with your nurses and doctors. And there's opportunities that the Lord gives if we're just looking for them. You see, Anna was one of those people. She was a woman who could not keep silent about Jesus Christ. She was sharing Jesus Christ with anybody that would listen to her. And we didn't see that she was sharing criticism. We didn't see that she was had something negative to say. She just wanted to point people to Jesus Christ. And we can understand that she had at least some degree of being able to get out to do this, and she used what she had to serve God. So a few lessons we can take away from these two individuals. Notice first that faithful waiting is never wasted. Faithful waiting is never wasted. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You see, we're waiting for the promise of heaven. Whether through the rapture or through death, but Christ has given us a great deal to do while we're still here on earth. You know, it's a good thing to look forward to heaven, to look forward to being in the presence of God, but we have a great deal to do here, and we can look at this example of waiting on the Lord. You know, a lot of times there's things that we want in life, and we think that sometimes that we can't live without, but we can wait on the Lord. Number two, the Holy Spirit still leads seeking hearts. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So we see here that the Holy Spirit was leading here with Simeon, and he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit in his life. Notice also with Simeon and Anna, and I touched on this already, but their age did not limit their usefulness to God. You know, maybe things look a little different. Maybe you're not helping with the field games at Vacation Bible School. Maybe you're not necessarily teaching a Sunday school class. But age does not limit usefulness to God. We see that number four, the last lesson I want to pull out here, that seeing Christ changes how you face death. You see, Simeon and Anna here, both of them were at the end of their course. They were at the end of their lives. Likely after this passage of Scripture, Simeon certainly didn't have much time left. Anna maybe had a little more time left than Simeon. But the way that they faced death was very different. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, these two elderly individuals, they were both looking to Christ. So the way they faced death, when Simeon had seen Christ, his remark was, now I can die in peace. That now he had seen what the promise fulfilled, and now he can have peace here. But when Anna saw the Christ, she said, now I must tell everyone. So she went to go tell everyone that would listen. And I'm challenged here by the by Anna's testimony here to go and to share Christ. Because so often, if you've been a Christian for a matter of time, that fervor to share the gospel, sadly, sometimes wears down a little bit. Where we don't have that same urgency that we might have. You know, Jesus still works in ordinary places. You know, I remember even back when the church building was being built, and it was really nothing more than a construction site. There was no drywall, and there's no running water, and no electricity. If you remember, if you were here for all of that, the electricity was like the very last thing to happen. This place was built on many generators from Harbor Freight that were worn out. It was an interesting process. But anyway, we were coming and spent quite a bit of time at the building with Brother David Monroe in London, and Pastor got to lead Brother David Monroe to the Lord here in the unfinished church building. You know, God uses ordinary places, even a construction site. It'd be kind of a stretch to call it a church building at that point. But God uses ordinary places, and God uses ordinary people to see people saved and to share the gospel. I'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Maybe you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. I'd love to show you from God's word, or send you with someone to show you from God's word how you can know for sure that you have a home in heaven. And maybe you're here and you are saved. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years, maybe many decades. You know, God is not through using you to serve him. There's still a ministry that you can do for God. And maybe it is this very important ministry here that Anna had of prayer. And just praying that for keeping track of needs on prayer lists and praying through them regularly. The Bible tells us that she prayed night and day. This was not just a casual thing, a casual prayer she was doing. And maybe here, you know, maybe there's something you've been waiting on and praying for. I'd encourage you, keep praying, keep waiting on the Lord. We can trust in the Lord, we can wait on the Lord, and the Lord doesn't work on our timing. He works on his own timing. He knows when the best time is. We'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll have an invitation. And so let's go ahead and have every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this time that we've had in your house, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies here of Simeon and Anna, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you that they just show us so many lessons about you, about how we can wait on you, Lord. And Lord, how you come through on your promises. Lord, I pray that we will not grow weary as years go by. But Lord, I pray that we'll continue to serve you with the same fervor that we had when we were newly saved. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us in the invitation. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you'll join me in standing, we'll sing a verse of invitation.